One of the largest and most influential paranormal conferences in the country, UNIFCON, is coming for the largest and most spectacular event to date. UNIFCON offers a trademark variety of events, including academic workshops, committees, entertainment, ghost hunts, debates, and even social outings. It is more than a conference, it is a cultural event to celebrate the paranormal, its pioneers, investigators, and the attendees. Thousands have attended UNIFCON in the past, and every year the numbers grow. UNIFCON is still the only major paranormal conference held at a university. UNIFCON holds that university mentality of continuing education, research, and a safe environment to present new ideas. It's a place to learn and discuss paranormal investigation methods, psychology and the paranormal, demonology, ethics, and more. Every conference takes place at University Park, Pennsylvania, home of Penn State University. This year, be a part of history. Join us this year, October 18th to the 21st, 2007, for UNIFCON 6, the greatest show on earth. For ticket information, visit www.unifcon.org. That's www.unifcon.org.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Dream Team. We're ready for EVP sleep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's an EMF meter started to see the pain line.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Thank you. Join the three paramigos for some serious discussion of the paranormal.
He wants to know how John prepares himself for what he sees before he goes out on some of these investigations.
Can I just take my glasses off?
And as usual, some surprising guest.
Now he's going to contract the view of Rodney Dangerfield. Can you hear me, Rodney?
Hey, what is this place? Where am I? I need to fire my agent. I get no respect.
Some very serious topics will be discussed.
Did you ever share with everybody my nickname for you?
No. Go ahead and tell them.
Tiny.
From the serious to satire, the Three Paramigos radio program, Tuesday nights on the APEC Radio Network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central.
The Three Paramigos are we.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
September is a very, very exciting month for us.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. And one of the things that we are doing in September, something that we've done for, the past three or four
This is our fourth year we've been there.
Sixth year that they've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The Mothman Festival in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Oh, man. And, you know, we've mentioned this before on the show. The Mothman Festival has it's got a real, real deep place in our heart because it was, the first, conference slash convention slash, meeting place for paranormal people that we ever went to. You know,
right.
Way back in, 2004.
And that's where we met, of course, somebody who we're going to be talking to
here.
Soon.
Yeah, yeah.
We've also met Rosemary Ellen Guiley there.
That was the first time we met her there.
We met Chad.
Chad Lambert, our buddy Chad.
Chad
Lambert's been there. We've met a lot of people.
A lot of awesome people there.
We're good friends with now. So,
and where else do you get to, drive around in the woods, go into open, bunkers,
the thing that's cool about the
mayhem.
Yeah, the thing I love about the Mothman Festival is a little bit, of the stuff that we travel to, and that changes every year. We're always going to different stuff nowadays.
Yeah.
But the Mothman Festival is one we always go to. We make it a point to go to that. And I noticed this with all the people that kind of want to come and hang out with us and stuff like that, which God knows why, but they actually email and say, we want to come and meet you guys, where can we go? And they always, I give them a whole list of places to go to. I'm like,
we're going
to all these places this year, and they always pick the Mothman Festival. And I know why. I know one of the main reasons why. And it's nothing bad against anybody, but the Mothman Festival is a free event. I mean, you can just come there and walk around and hang out, right?
It's free, and it's open.
It's wide open,
anybody,
right in the city.
You just drive. And so there may be people who attend who just happen to drive in the city and say,
what's going on here?
I think I'm going to go check it out. You know,
but I know this year, for example, I've been getting lots of emails going, we're going, we looked at the schedule and we're definitely going to the Mothman Festival. We're going to meet you guys there. And there's 50,000 people I know are coming this year that we're going to meet for the first time. And one of the main people, I will mention this over and over again, one of the main people we're going to be meeting for the first time.
Oh, Marcus Leader.
Marcus Leader is going to be there with Nicole Leader. We met Nicole last year. And anybody who listens to Ghostly Talk knows that Marcus Leader is probably one of the best friends we have in this field.
We're going to have to ask why it is. What about the Mothman Festival is addictive? But first, let me throw out the website.
Oh, yes.
The website is www.mothmanlives.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's, of course, permanently linked up at our own website.
We've got a banner on the site right now for it.
And the banner's going and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Mothman Festival coming up. We are talking to the guy who has no time whatsoever because he's organizing this chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow. Jeff Wamsley, welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good. But we are stunned. We are literally stunned. When I think of the event that you throw every year and just how incredible it is, and then yet you've got time to come and talk to us briefly about it, I just think that it's phenomenal.
So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on and stuff. You know, it's it's kind of like a labor of love anyway. So I know that you guys, of course, you know, will be the official MCs this year.
My God, right? Why are you doing this to yourself, Jeff?
Well, you know, last year during the festival and stuff, you know, I was talking to Denny Bellamy. He's one of the, as a matter of fact, Denny and I grew up together in right here on 30th Street there in Point Pleasant. He's a few years older than me, but you know, he helps with the festival and stuff. But we were talking, and you know, he came up to me. I was probably halfway through the festival, and he's like, I've got an idea. And I'm like, I don't have time to talk to you right now about it. But he said, no. He said, these guys behind us right here, the Ghostly Talk, you know. Of course, you guys were busy interviewing people and all this and that. And I'm like, yeah. And he said, let's get them to MC and host the festival next year. And I just looked at him. I said, okay, let's do it. You know? So
that was the same story with us, Jeff, because I remember you walked up to me and you're like, hey.
Well, that was about 2 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, hey, I got an idea. And I'm like, well, what's up? And you're like, well, how about you guys host a festival next year? And I'm like, well, okay. All right,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
We're going to be here anyway.
Yeah, why not?
We might as well, you know.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Well, I think the reason, you know, I do a lot of interviews and stuff, especially about the festival and the museum and books and all that stuff, but they always ask, you know, why the festival is growing so fast, and I think it's what you guys mentioned there before. It's almost like a common meeting ground in the Midwest, you know, for people to come, and it's almost like a family reunion in a way,
because
everybody looks forward to that every year, and it's kind of like people network, and you know, they meet up with people there and stuff, and like you said, it is a free event. You know, so, and it brings a lot of people to town, and you know, new friends are made and connections and all kinds of stuff. So I think that's one of the reasons why, because, you know, it attracts such a diverse crowd and everything, you know.
Well, it does attract a ton of, I mean, you wouldn't believe, and every year, you're not kidding,
the
Jeff.
Growth factor is
every
definitely
year, this thing
there.
Gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
there's people There's people from all walks of life there. You know, my favorite thing to do always, I mean, it is, like I said, it's just this the Mothman Festival is this thing that's really, really kind of like just burned into our hearts now. My favorite thing to do is when we get there, we usually get there Friday, you know.
Yeah,
before
Friday. Yeah.
And the first thing I always do is, well, we check into the hotel and deal with that. And then
we
have to go out and just go down to the – we go down.
This is our yearly trip, what we do. We go check in the hotel. Then we have to drive down and we have to find you and watch you for just like 8 minutes.
And laugh at you.
That tires us out. That tires us out 100%. We can go back to the hotel, crash, and have a good night's sleep while you're right, because you are like 100% energy getting things ready the night before.
Well, I played in a rock band for 15, 20 years, and you know, I think we would try to get there early, set the PA up and the lights, and then it would be Spinal Tap for the rest of the night. You know, everything went wrong. So, but,
oh yeah, and
that's, you know, we try to have a lot of the stuff planned out, you know, for the festival. Of course, you know, the city guys help us some, and other than setting up the tents and those tables and you know, kind of coordinate the different events, because there's a lot more going on this year too, as far as we're going to test the waters a little bit with an art show, Mothman art show, and then we got ladies wanting to do a little costume contest. Mothman costume contest.
That sounds like a lot of fun to take.
And you mentioned ladies, Jeff.
Ladies. Yeah, well, you got to be judges for this if you want.
All right, that's what we want.
I'll respond the same way as far as emceeing the event. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. We'll be there anyway. Yeah. We might as well.
Yeah, exactly. What else is going on, Jeff?
Of course, you know, the guest speakers and the authors, and we're going to try to have you know, more of the original eyewitnesses is what I call them. You know, some of the people that anybody who watches the documentaries or reads the books knows, you know, Linda Scarberry and people like that are going to be there and stuff. And, you know, they were a little apprehensive at first a few years back because, you know, I didn't want it to make it into a, you know, a type of thing where, you know, people make fun of them or, you know, but they the people that come to the festival and stuff are kind of honored to, you know, meet some of those people, at least get a chance to talk to them and stuff, you know. So, you know, we're going to go with that. And there, you know, some new guest speakers, they're all listed on the website there. Ryan Buell, is that his name?
Or Ryan Buell.
Yeah, Ryan Buell.
Yeah, he's scheduled to come with some people from A&E.
Yeah, you know what? I hate to cut you off on that, Jeff, but it's really funny. We just had Ryan on the show a couple weeks ago because we're going to UNIVCON this year also. And I was on the MothmanLives.com website.
They have changed that since I saw it.
Oh, it looks awesome. But I was looking at the list of speakers, and I'm like, I didn't realize Ryan was going too. So we get to finally meet Ryan also.
That's gonna
be very cool.
Actually, A&E is kind of like co-sponsoring the festival. With a lot of giveaways and some promotional stuff for that paranormal, what's the show called?
Oh, the Paranormal State.
Yeah, Paranormal State.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, I just got off the phone the other day with another crew that's coming after the festival that's going to be doing a program called, I think it's Altered Minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. And they deal with different channels and stuff, A&E, history, biography channels, stuff like that. So that's still in the works, and, you know, they're supposed to kind of do some preliminary stuff with that. But Ryan, you know, is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of UFO. One guy that's coming, Alan Greenfield,
mm-hmm.
I think is his name, from Atlanta.
Now, yeah.
He had some connections with, like, Gray Barker and some of the UFO stuff, you know, the 60s type stuff and everything. So he's going to be there, you know. So there's a lot of different people. You know, some of the same people are coming, but there's some new people too.
Well, yeah, we're actually looking at the list right now as we're
yeah.
speaking.
I'm absolutely completely shocked. I think it's a lot of fun because
I didn't know. I forgot. You know, I forgot. I saw this a while ago, and I know I got giddy about it, and I totally forgot about it again because I got the memory of a goldfish, obviously. James Willis is going to be there this year. And he's somebody that we got to get him back on the show.
Author of Weird Ohio.
Weird Ohio.
Yeah, do we have him listed on there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I just talked to him, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking
forward. He'll be there.
You've met him before, Doug. I have.
I have met him. I had
the pleasure of meeting James.
He thought we were mad at him.
Yeah, because I don't know if we talked to him or not or whatever, but we had him on the show one time.
We had him on the show. He did his reverse speech,
backmasking.
Backmasking.
Yeah.
He did the backmasking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went on to write Weird Ohio, one of the most incredible books on the planet, right?
Uh-huh.
Part of the Weird series. You remember Mark and Mark from Weird US, right?
Yeah.
Well, they have this whole series of, you know, state-by-state books that they sponsor through the Weird, you know,
my girlfriend played piano with them.
And, yeah.
I had to say it.
And James wrote the Weird Ohio one, and then so I saw him at Weird Winter, and he thought, I don't know, called him back, and we're like, no, that's not how it works.
No, man, I don't know.
You call us up, we schedule you, you know?
I don't know what happened. We're not mad. James, if you're listening, we love you. We're looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, James. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so
we're looking forward to
bringing my cupcake.
Susan Shepherd's going to be there again this year, too.
She's awesome. She's from just north of there in
Parkersburg.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the prodigy
some of those connections with the Woody Derenberger stuff.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, that's where I was up to her table the first year we were there. We were leaving, actually.
Uh-huh.
We were leaving. And I had run up to her and I said, I want that CD. It was a CD called the Derenberger Tape.
Uh-huh.
Or Derenberger Tapes, right? And I wanted it. And she says, well, if it doesn't sell, you know, you can do the promo thing, you know, and just have me on the show or whatever. We'll barter, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went away, and then I came back, and well, what happened was then I was informed that we're leaving. We are absolutely leaving. I went up to her. I said, I'm not bartering. I want it. I want it now. I want it now in my hands, in my bag, because I want that tape. And I got it, and I've listened to it.
Yeah, we listened to it the whole way home.
The whole way home,
oh,
and
really?
I've listened to it. Seven,
that was the first
times.
Year we were at the Mothman Fest. I remember that was towards the end of the day, and I remember Jeff actually gave us tickets for the Haunted Hayride also.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, for the Mothman Hayride.
Yeah.
And
No, I bought those tickets.
Did you buy those?
I bought the tickets, but then I went up to Jeff afterwards and said, you know what, just give these to anybody who wants to go.
Oh, okay, because we were all,
because
reason being is we were fried out of our minds.
Because we were completely dead. We didn't know how we didn't know how much fun and
interesting. But we were on the road for like a week and a half before that. That was the last part of our
trip. Last day of our 10-day trip, yeah.
And that we were all like, I want to so bad, Doug, but we just can't do it. I'm totally shot, man.
So I say, give these to crew or
anybody. Yeah, I remember that now.
Anybody, so because we're just not. We got to go back and crash.
The Prodigy,
I remember that now.
Yeah.
The Prodigy group is going to be there also. I see.
Yeah, from Ohio.
We got
There's
to meet
a bunch
the,
of different groups. Are going to be there like that, but they're going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, we met them last year, and they were the people that we just kind of. All I remember is we went to the restaurant that started with a B after after the festivities, and it was
that was the one.
Okay, and I just remember it was like a whole like 20 people with black shirts on and a whole 20 people with light blue shirts on.
Yeah.
Then we took up like half the restaurant. People are like, "Who are these freaks?" But they're a great bunch of groups, so we're looking forward to seeing Jason and everybody again this year, too. So a whole bunch of great people.
And we've talked to Robin Bellamy on the show.
Yeah, Robin too.
And, of course, we've talked to Rosemary Ellen Guiley on the show. I can't wait to meet, we've had Chad Lambert. So I can't wait to meet Andy Colvin, because I don't think I've met
him. Yeah, he'll be there. I just talked to him on the phone the other day.
I can't wait to meet Travis Short. Did we meet him last year? No?
I think we did, actually.
I met a filmmaker.
We met Travis Short. Yeah, he came up there and said, hey, talk about my movie. And we said, okay.
Yes. I do remember him.
He threw a piece of paper at us and said, talk about this. And we're like, yes, sir, whatever you say.
Yeah. Ryan, that could have been that Matt Pawlowski, too.
Oh,
it was Travis.
No,
it was Travis Short.
I think it
was Travis. I remember it was Travis.
Okay. So I can't wait to, there's people, again, this is indicative of the Mothman Festival.
Mm-hmm.
There's names of people who've become our, our Mothman Festival friends,
mm-hmm.
People we've had on the show and we've, interacted with it at other events as well.
Yeah.
And then there's new people as well. This is the Mothman Festival. It's new, it's familiar, it's old, it's a ball.
It's
a fantastic weekend. It really
is. We're looking so forward to it. Is there anything else we need to know about, Jeff? Do we need to be warned about anything before we come down there?
No, not really. like I said, a lot will be going on and everything, and we're looking forward to. It seems like you look forward to it for so long, then all of a sudden it's over and everybody's talking about next year and all that. But that the museum, I mentioned that, is because that's starting to be a kind of a meeting point for a lot of people coming to town, too.
I have to agree. As I don't know if, because you weren't there, were you, when I just showed up one weekend about 4 or 5 months ago.
Probably not.
No, it was, but Bonnie and me and Sean and Elmer and Chris, we all pop in, right? We just pop in.
Well, no, let's see. Yeah, that was me. I was there.
I think you were
there.
I
was there, yeah.
You were there.
Yeah,
and
I was.
That was the first time, because now when we started going to Mothman Festival, there was no museum. At least it was not like that. I mean,
no,
it might have been maybe.
It's a permanent, open every day year-round now.
As a matter of fact, that's where the festival wasn't it?
Yeah,
originally,
when
we were there in 2004, that's where it was.
And then you moved it outside,
right,
and then
right.
You were building the museum. You were clearing the space, things like that. Now, I went earlier this year to the Mothman Museum, which is open, evidently, at least for the summer, if not year-round, because...
We're going to do a year-round now.
Year-round.
Too many people coming,
I believe that, because I popped into the museum, and at the beginning of the travel season, as a matter of fact, it was one of the first trips that me and Bonnie went on.
Yeah,
and,
I was there.
I'm telling you, you have really... First of all, the collection.
Yeah.
The collection of stuff in there... related to the Mothman and the articles that you guys have found and dug up and put in the protectors, the art, the fan art. There's fan art. There's articles. There's movies playing 24/7 on like endless loop. There's at least when you're in there, they play these movies constantly.
Uh-huh.
There's articles of clothing. There's just absolutely everything in
there. Movie props,
And the movie props. How you guys rescued the movie props? This thing had to have been a major undertaking, and it's very, very well presented. Congratulations,
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's like I said, I'm not there as much as I in the summertime. I'm there a little more, but
it's, you know, with, we have MothmanMuseum.com. That's, you know, connected with the MothmanLives.com. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, for people who can't come to the festival, who want to, you know, they're coming to that museum and staying at the Lowe Hotel and going to the TNT.
That's
know.
What we did.
And, yeah. So,
we're
know.
Tourists. We should have just worn a T-shirt that said tourists.
Well, I'm a, and I hope I don't warn it. I hope I don't get us in trouble by saying this. We finally this year got, I booked it like back in like January. And you put it right on the website too.
He
like,
whined.
There's a list of webs, you know, on the website there's a list of hotels that can, you know, you can stay around there. And the first one obviously is the Lowe Hotel, and they say most likely if you're looking at this like, you know, 2 weeks before the event, forget about it, but call anyways.
I typed that whole thing.
Yeah. I got us rooms. I booked them back in January, Jeff.
Right. Yep. He calls up the Lowe.
I muscled the people at the Lowe, Jeff. I call there and I'm like, hi, I want to book some rooms. They're like, okay, for what, you know, what, I'm like, okay, for September 14th through September 16th. And they're like, okay, we don't really book that early. I mean, listen to me.
You have to tell them who you are because you guys are like celebrities. You know?
I did that, Jeff. I said, now listen to me. I am Scott from Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. We support the Mothman Festival, and we need rooms. Do you understand me?
He said, we've been coming to this festival for 3 years, and we have not been able to get into the Lowe's
yet. Please, give us a room. Cut me some slack. And she's
I'll
like,
make sure, that they got them. I mean, you know, look at all the people that stay there during the festival, all those guest speakers and writers and authors, and then you guys, and Keel stayed there when he came, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody asked me about Keel, if he's coming or not. I talked to him, and, you know, one minute, you know, he's up for travel, and the next minute he's not feeling good, you know. So we'll just wait and see. You just never know. I hate to announce that he's definitely going to be there, and then he doesn't show, but never know about him, you know.
Well,
but
I think
he's
that
very interested in that festival and the museum and stuff.
I think that adds an air of I think he deals. He deals with the Mothman Festival a lot, like a lot of people do. It's just like. It's there, it's going on, I know about it, and I think I will drive down and look at it. You know, I will go in and see what people are saying. And you know what else I want to, and that I think is a brilliant thing about the festival, is that everybody is invited.
Yeah.
Everybody.
You're invited.
Well, you mentioned that about 3 or 4 years ago when you guys were there, when we did have it inside, a weird thing happened when the festival was over. Of course, most people are interested in the Mothman story know who Roger Scarberry is. You know, mm-hmm. He's the one who drove the car the night. He came. He came to the festival, but nobody had seen him in 40 years.
Oh,
and Carolyn at the diner, said that this guy walked in and after the festival's over and said, you don't know who I am, do you? And she didn't recognize him. He said, Roger Scarberry. So he came.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, which... You know, I've been trying to get an interview with him for,
and there he was.
But I have talked to him and his mother through email, and he claims he's coming again this year. So I'll be able to pick him out of the crowd this year, though.
He might be dressed up as a Men in Black kind of person.
Yeah.
Well, let's get a present picture of him. We'll give it to Bonnie, Jeff, and consider your problem solved.
Yeah.
Bonnie will get him
him wherever you want, kicking and screaming. No problem.
She is good at that.
We got plenty of Men in Black that are going to be there.
Excellent. You know, one of the things about the Mothman Festival, I don't think words are enough to describe the mood.
Oh,
because, like you were saying, you know, you don't want to make fun of the Mothman, right?
Right.
You don't want to make fun of Chief Cornstalk, because evidently, you know, that's
Dan Cutler will be there, too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So you don't want to make fun of the event. You want to this event actually. It's a fun event.
Yeah.
I've only ever heard serious and interesting conversations.
I've never
going
heard
on.
Anything like that. I mean, I've heard that it's popped up a couple times in this conversation. I've never heard any type of condescending attitude about this.
Right.
I mean, we all have a good time.
And, but the thing is, there's. The possibility is there, because I've been to events where suddenly things get into a circus atmosphere, and I don't
You're
see
just sitting
that
at our table, that's why that happens.
Well, that's at my table, but the Ghostly Talk table is a lot like a circus atmosphere, but no, I mean, like, even trials become circus trials,
right,
you know,
right,
I mean, and those are serious things, I mean, there's people's lives on the line, and or futures, anyway, but... This event, it really is, every time I've been there, and I think every time I go in the future, which will be pretty much every year, is it's more like we had described it as a meeting of the minds. It's like people come together and you're there to honor the event, to muse and think about the Mothman, and go out at night and look for him too.
Right,
I mean,
right.
We do that.
People are interested in. I mean, they, you know, they're definitely looking for answers or whatever. Or they're just interested in. I mean, a lot of them come to the museum and they say, you know, I really don't believe in this stuff, but it's really interesting. And other people come in, they're hardcore, and you know, they give me theories. And
how can you walk into the paranormal museum and look at the? You guys have, you know, like wedding albums with the you know, you put pictures.
Yeah.
They have these things chock full of paper, newspaper clippings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the real deal, too. I mean, you know, it's real archives.
Yeah, these are real newspaper clippings. And there might be a few photocopies from the library or something, but it's very, like, these are real newspaper articles that were written at the time. This thing was, how can you look at the pounds, just the, if you weighed these things, the pounds of sheer evidence, right? And then say, oh, I don't know if I believe in the Mothman or not.
Yeah. Well, and it's public record, too, because I tell a lot of people, you know, we have the movie props, and on the other hand, we have the real archives, and, you know, you can look through and see where all this stuff is documented and stuff, you know. But,
well, again.
It's definitely, I mean, it's, I don't know how, you know, I had the record stores for 15 years, and I thought those were off the wall, but. You know, I went right out of that into this, and people walk in and say, man, this reminds me of your old record store. Because I'm like, you got the picture, and the picture behind the counter of me and Gene Simmons on the wall is the one that, has Gene been here? Did he come in here? And I'm like, well, you never know. He might walk in here. We'll get him in here. You know?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Let me know. You let me know when
that they could do a Mothman thing around his family jewels.
There you go.
Oh, that would be
fun. Please, you need to let me know when that's going on, Jeff.
Exactly.
I need to get my picture with Gene Simmons also.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time here. But, Jeff, again, the weekend of September 14th through September 16th, the festival is on September 15th, Saturday, September 15th, but it's a weekend thing.
Oh, yeah. We're there all
weekend. Everybody's
there
all weekend.
Hanging out. Now, Jeff is officially Friday night, just wave
well,
at him.
One
he
thing,
works
yeah.
constantly. It'll tire you out to watch him, okay?
One thing I want to state publicly.
Catch him
one thing I want to state publicly concerning Jeff, and I'm saying this to you, Jeff, and I'm saying it on the air, too. If you need any help Friday night, all you got to do is call us and get a hold of us, and we will. We've all discussed this already. Every year we just go like, hey, I wonder if Jeff needs any help down there. The guy looks like he's killing himself. If you need any help, please let us know. We'll come down there. We'll be happy to give you a hang. We'll be there Friday afternoon probably. So
Friday afternoon.
If you need any help, let us know, man.
I teach school till 3, remember?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's true.
Drop us a line.
Yeah, I deal with ninth graders until about 3, and then I'll be there. So.
Yeah, well, drop us a line. I mean, we're going to talk before that anyways, but if you need help, please let us know. We got to go to break, though. We got to go to break, though.
The website. Okay. No, you hang on the line, though.
No, don't leave us, Jeff. Don't leave us.
The website, of course, is www.mothmanlives.com.
Check it out. Right. 2007 Mothman Festival, 6th annual Mothman Festival. It's a ball. You guys, you believe us on this. You won't have a greater time than if you come down to Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
And for some reason, they're letting us run the speaker part.
Yeah. You got to be in control.
We'll be right back after this.
The charm and mystery of the Deep Sound through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble millworkers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. booked at RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy Haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Howard Riel is a veteran journalist who, since 1986, has been part of a small group of friends involved in an ongoing series of supernatural and decidedly religious events that can only be viewed as part of the classical prophetic experience. It started when channeled messages and went on to include ecstatic religious visions, accurate predictions of future events, hundreds of jaw-dropping coincidences, and communication with consciousnesses claiming to be, among others, Moses' brother Aaron and disciple Joshua, Jesus, Mary, philosopher Philo of Alexandria, the angels of Michael, Raziel, and Metatron, and even God himself. We are talking today with Howard Riel of www.enochcoincidence.com. That's ENOCHCOINCIDENCE.com. Howard, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
I thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, when as Doug was reading that your bio, the thing we put together, there's some big names in here that I've heard before. Metatron's always been I've actually done some studying on Metatron and things like that. Mm-hmm. So you know, I'm familiar with a couple of these names and stuff like that, obviously through biblical scripture and history, mm-hmm. and things like that too. So my question is, okay, you guys had contact with Metatron, am I correct?
Do we have contact with Metatron? I believe we did once, yes, but the significance of him is that he's tied into an entire drama that you find in the Book of Enoch and which is being played out in our experiences today.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, how would you say that?
Well, I want to start at the beginning, actually.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I want to start at the beginning. This stuff is exactly what I want to talk about, yes, but
mm-hmm.
first... you're a journalist, right?
Yes, sir.
You were a journalist, you're a journalist, and it's 1986. What were you into? How did you meet your friends? How did it all like go down at the very beginning? And what were you expecting, or were you not expecting? I mean, what happened? How did it happen?
Well, it's very interesting because I wasn't religious and I wasn't into the supernatural at all. In fact, I was dating a girl named Cindy, and she told me she had a friend in Sheepshead Bay who was a psychic. And just out of curiosity, I went to the class, and that's where I met all my friends. And to my amazement, this woman who was a psychic knew things about me and about people in my life that nobody could possibly have known. Predictions were made, specific predictions that actually came true within a couple of weeks. And then at one point they pulled out a Ouija board and started playing with that. And here also I was getting information that nobody in the room had. No one could possibly have known. And so that's what convinced me originally that this was a real thing happening. This wasn't sleight of hand. No one was trying to scam me because there was no money changing hands. And it was a real thing. And as the months went by, the messages got very, very specific and focused in on me and my friend Rosalind, and told us basically that we were two players in this drama that had been going on for millennia.
And now, previous to this, when you know, as a journalist, you've been lied to, right? I mean, you've gone after the facts, and people have tried to steer you. I mean, this kind of, you're familiar with sleight of hand or sleight of story, that kind of thing. And, yeah. and your job is to dig through it all and get to what's really going down, and then report it. That's your, you know, your daytime job, right?
Right.
So
right.
So you're familiar with techniques and things. Now you're in a world with you know, some people that you just met and of course, you know, your girlfriend, but you hadn't just met her, but you know, you're in this world, it's new to you, and this stuff I get a sense that it just probably was like a slap in the face, like bang, oh my gosh, this is an awareness moment must have happened that something big is going down.
Well, you know, as a journalist, I've always been extremely skeptical, and for me to go to a class where psychic stuff is being done, I had my hand on my wallet, and I wasn't expecting to find people who were sincere and weren't trying to take my money from me, but that is, in fact, what I found. And when they had information that no one could possibly have had, when many predictions that came true, and then at a certain point, these messages leaped off the Ouija board, if you will, and began to manifest themselves in real-life coincidences that happened away from this class and away from these people. And as the years went by, 86, 87, and on, the coincidences became amazing and stupefying and, yeah, jaw-dropping. I like that phrase. Totally beat the odds that any of these could simply be coincidence. And eventually it was so astounding, such a shake-up for me, that I began to see that there really is such a thing as God, which I would have denied vehemently at the very beginning. And eventually I had to give way to that belief, and it actually turned me into a religious person. I became an Orthodox Jew.
Well, yeah, and a lot of things turn people towards religion. I mean,
sure.
This is a bit of a different situation.
This was more like, you know, it was like, you know, here it is. You're in a position where you know, you're unfamiliar with it, but you know what? This is how it's going down. And I just find that amazing, because that's similar. I've heard this kind of thing before, not this particular
situation, right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, somebody sees a UFO and their entire world changes, you know.
Mm. Absolutely.
When
because the entire paradigm you have in your mind about how reality works and how the world works has to change, it has to shift, it becomes redefined, and that calls upon you, if you're intellectually honest, to change with it.
Mm. No, and that's the truth. I mean, that's absolutely the truth.
See, because
right,
I assume that when, you know, in 1986, you probably had everything all planned. You're like, I'm going to, you know, hopefully I'm in my 401ks, or, well, at the time they didn't talk that, I'm in that, I have this, I want to get to bigger and bigger and more widely circulated newspapers, I want a Pulitzer if possible, you know, all these different things. You know, you pretty much had a vision of your future, and then it all came crashing down after one, yeah, it totally, yeah, it you switched at the station.
Well, what you're saying is absolutely correct, but anyone who has a spiritual experience, anyone who has their realities expanded, their vision of the world expanded, has a similar experience. I mean, you've got to either sweep it under a rug and continue as you've been, or you've got to change with it, and I chose the latter. But, yeah, it was definitely a defining moment in my life, no question.
There are people who go on, like, quests. Spirit quests, they try to, or vision quests, you know, in old parlance and things like that, and they're looking for kind of exactly what happened to you,
mm-hmm.
But you weren't looking; it just sort of happened to you.
No, I was on a quest for single women, and I was finding quite a bit of them. But that's a whole other story.
Right, that's the other book, yeah.
But that was my quest at the moment, but this kind of changed my priorities a little bit.
I see it did. God exists.
Apparently.
And you...
When
this
you
is hard.
Though,
this is
getting,
hard.
This is difficult
yeah,
for
difficult,
me because I'm just absolutely flabbergasted. Actually,
not that God exists.
I, you know, that no problem. You know, I'll go in agreement with you there. But somehow you were shown this or told this in a way that just went from denial to, oh yeah, this is the way it is, you know, God.
Well, don't make it sound like a one-step process. It took years for me to finally get a grip on the fact that there was some reality beyond what I could see with my own eyes. It didn't happen quickly at all. I fought it.
Yeah, okay, you're right. My question, I mean, I do make it sound
I wish everything
that
was
way.
That simple, Doug.
I do make it sound that way, but you're right. I mean, this was obviously a long process. When you sat down and people are showing you, you know, Ouija boards or telling you these, because I've heard people say, yeah, I went to a psychic or I went to a medium or a psychic medium and they told me things that I there's no possible way they could have known. Now this I've heard over and over and over and over again. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty much convinced, and
okay.
I do happen to know a lady who's told me that there's things that there's absolutely no possible way she would have known that,
mm-hmm.
and other than if she was tapped into, you know, either reading my mind or reading the minds of deceased loved ones or
mm-hmm.
or in contact with the, you know, the Akashic records or something like that. She
right.
she had some kind of inside track there, right? So I've heard this over and over again. But it usually doesn't develop into you know, becoming an Orthodox Jew or talking or getting messages from Michael and Metatron.
Well, I'm hearing things like that.
So what I'm wondering is, just one second.
It's cool.
I'm really working. I want to understand.
It's cool.
I want to understand, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
When did it, and I know it wasn't a moment. It was a process. But what I'm trying to ask, and it's so difficult because I'm trying to organize my thoughts and ask at the same time, it's not working, is how does it go beyond, like you said you had a part in a millennial, a multi-millennial or maybe even ages old, and I mean like, Paleolithic kind of ages. You know,
I feel that way when I wake up in the morning. Yeah.
Ages, I do too. ages old drama that's been going on, right?
Yep.
And you're a part of it. So you have this role that became apparent that doesn't happen to other people. So I'm wondering, how does this role define? Did you get picked, or was it part of your spirit, like does your soul from, you know, been going through this and you didn't know it until this
I think you're trying to find out the more dynamic part of this, the mechanics of it more or less.
But well,
somewhat. Yeah.
I want to know, like, how come why are you involved? Why aren't I involved?
Well, according to the messages, if they are to be believed, I was, my original incarnation was as Adam. And as we've gone through the centuries, I have popped up in history playing a key role in guiding history the way it's supposed to be guided. That's the scenario. Now, let me stop for a second and say, all this stuff sounds incredible, amazing, ridiculous, ludicrous, and I wouldn't give it the time of day if not for all of the coincidences, which did not come out of someone's head, did not come off a Ouija board. They happened in real life. They could be seen and examined by other people who are not involved in this. And they really are staggering, and I hope I get a chance to tell you about some of them, because they defy the odds they defy the odds, and they can't just happen. They mesh perfectly with the messages we were getting,
mm-hmm.
and that served to prove to me that this was a real thing happening.
Well, what were some of these things? Elaborate.
Well,
I
do want to hear
something.
Yeah. Now, by the way, Howard, I don't find this to be incredulous. I don't find this to be ridiculous. I, you know, all those words you used, I don't find this to be that way at all, because I'm a huge, I'm pretty convinced that, you know,
reincarnation happens, that that things I've noticed these coincidences that mesh in my own life, but they're not as big as yours, you know. They don't have to do with archangels and things like that. You know, I've noticed that these things happen, and I think that all we as humans have to do is pay attention and try and figure these out. So I don't find any of this incredulous. I'm just trying to understand it.
Well, you know what? You're a better man than I, because I do consider this stuff ridiculous and crazy. And I am the last person in the world that this should have been happening to, because I'm very feet on the ground, very logic and practicality oriented. And even having, been dealing with this now for 21 years, I still have to pinch myself and say, wait a minute, this can't really be real, can it? And then I'll look over my notes, or I'll look at some of the books that I've written, and I'll see these coincidences, and I'll say, well, that's real. That happened. There's no question about that. So maybe the rest of it is real also.
And that's how I go with the I've studied Edgar Cayce. That's how I believe in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And he of course was a devout Christian. He did not believe in reincarnation, but when he would go into his trances and they would take the notes, the sleeping Edgar Cayce would talk about all this reincarnation go on, and yet he helped how many countless people with his medical diagnosis. Mm-hmm. and those people seem to bear up the same thing, I had the reading and then I got better, and thank you so much, and things like that. He did it all for free. So I just really
a very similar thing happened here, because one of the staples of this phenomenon, one of the core messages, is that Jesus was not divine. He was a regular person. He was not part of a trinity, not the Son of God, etc. And these messages came from a woman who is Catholic and very happy being Catholic, and would never for a moment suggest that Jesus was not the Son of God. And she was very, frankly, very upset and very concerned for a long, long time that these messages were coming through her, because she had a love of and a loyalty to Jesus that she had grown up with, and she had, there's no way to explain why she would suddenly start coughing this stuff up unless it was coming from someone else, from some other source.
Well, and that's entirely true, because as a Catholic, she has taken oath after oath and vow after vow that I accept Jesus as the Son of Christ, or Jesus as the Son of God, and it just goes on and on. They do that every single year on Easter Sunday. So it definitely, at least, I mean, that's the only Mass I'm familiar with, but the Catholic Mass anyway, but it happens constantly, so she is always reaffirming her belief that Jesus is Son of God. So if she subconsciously in a trance in an altered state of consciousness is spouting all the stuff that is against what she truly, to the core of her being in consciousness, believes, obviously it could either be coming from either deeper within her or from an outside source,
And there is also a long list of information that came through her that she simply didn't possess. Details details that you would find in ancient texts like the Quran or the Dead Sea Scrolls or Maimonides' Guide for the Perplexed or the Acts of Thomas, things that she'd never heard of.
Right.
And specifics from those books came through her.
And these are obviously things that even today, and this is what I'm doing. I'm stepping back and looking skeptical again, I know, but
absolutely.
What I'm doing, though, is I'm sort of affirming that she couldn't have known this, because I don't think in any, a lot of people develop information from, you'll store it away from advertising, from movies, from all these different sources, books and things like that. Mm. And a lot of them have a lot of information in them that is not consciously recognized, but you do learn little facts and tidbits,
right?
From all these different multimedia sources. If I really can't think of anything that would have addressed, little, unknown, unrecognized, unknown facts from that wide variety of sources, you know,
right.
from the Dead Sea Scrolls, from, you know, the, all these different places. I can't think of any, even if you went through a 100-year life and were addicted to movies and books and advertising and, you know, these little things where you pull information from,
right,
I don't think
I agree.
You would gather that amount of information. So I think maybe she probably was tuned into something.
All right, well, let me give you an example. One time we were sitting and we were doing the Ouija board, and she began to get a mental vision of someone with some kind of cloth over his head, and he was an old man with a white beard, and on his chest was some kind of colored stones in a square shape, and he was surrounded by, very stern and surrounded by smoke. And she got the name Aharon. And I wrote it all down, because that's what I do, I'm a journalist, and we got a message, and Aharon said that I had been chosen, I was the chosen one to take all this information and make it known to the world. So the next day I went to a friend of mine who's Jewish and knew a few things, and I gave him this description, and sure enough, in the Bible, Aaron, the brother of Moses, is described physically exactly the way she described him, down to the colored gemstones on his chest. And I said, well, what the hell's the smoke? Where's that coming from? And Aaron, as the high priest, would carry around an incense censer that would give off plumes of smoke. My friend Rosalind didn't know any of this.
Mm.
Fast forward a couple of months later, she and I were being driven crazy by this, so we went to see a woman in Queens who was a psychic. And she's doing a tarot card reading or something for Rosalind, and suddenly she bolted upright in her chair, and her face just went totally devoid of expression. And she pointed to me, and I will never forget this as long as I live. She said to me, you were not born. You were sent. And I turned to Rosalind and I said, my mother will be happy to hear this. she said, she could see a man behind my shoulder with a beard and some kind of turban and described Aharon just as he had been. And she said to me, you are the chosen one. Now, we had not told her about this incident that happened a month or two earlier. There's no way she could have known it, and yet she came up with the exact identical thing. To me, that's a pretty impressive coincidence.
Absolutely.
How could she have guessed that?
She can't have. That's definitely one of those coincidences to watch out for. We have so few minutes left. Two, right?
Yeah.
What, on your website, EnochCoincidence.com, ENOCHCoincidence.com.
That one tells you about the books I've written. The one with all the real guts in it is Enoch.real.net.
Enoch.real.net.
That with two
dot
E's,
net.
Or is that
R-I-E-L-L.
R-I-E-L-L. Okay, so
yeah,
Enoch,
that's the really good
Enoch.real.net.
.net.
And that gets into the juicy stuff, the nitty gritty, and because I want people to go there and be as intrigued as I am, because I'm very intrigued, Howard, because a lot of this sort of falls into place from stories from 40 years of my life, right? And I can identify with each of the things that you've told us, plus what I have written down that we're not going to get a chance to talk about, I'm sorry. But it's very intriguing, and it does, what you're coming to us with is, I see it as extremely plausible.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm glad you think that, because I think that too. And as amazing and ridiculous as it is, it's been proven to me over time, and I cannot say honestly that it's not true. I think that it is true.
So, Enoch.real, which is R-I-E-L-L .net.
Net.
Mm-hmm. Enoch.real.net. Howard Real.
Thank you.
This was the fastest half hour on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
Can you stay on the line, though,
for one moment?
1 second.
We're just going to go to break.
Okay.
Wow, Scott. Thank you so much for getting Howard on.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it,
Dave. I did. I'm sorry. I
sat back here and chilled out.
I didn't even let you ask a question.
No, it's all right. It's okay. It's cool.
I'm that interested
no,
in
No, I don't even worry about it.
Howard's
really cool.
So.
Let's go to break, though. We got to take a break here. This is
Excellent.
Mostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back with Lloyd Auerbach. And well, I want to ask that question again, too. I want to give these tickets away, man.
Okay.
We'll ask it after the break. We have no
good.
Time right now, unfortunately. We'll be right back.